The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
To understand how to deal with bad things happening to good people, you first have to understand how good people became bad. We'll do just that next on Truth For Today with Pastor Phil Howard. We tend to bristle at God when bad things happen to good people, but we need some godly perspective in all this. From the biblical perspective, there are no good people. There is no one good, no, not one, says Paul in Romans. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? Only God is good." So how did good people become bad? Answering that question helps us understand clearer what happens when bad things happen to good people. Let's go to Pastor Phil Howard for today's broadcast of Truth For Today in Genesis 3. From Valley Bible Church in Hercules, here is Pastor Phil with today's program.
We want to look at a difficult subject. I plan to be here in a six-part series. While preparing for this, I was dealing with Sunday night themes, what we would be doing, and it just hit me. The harder thing to explain is how good things can happen to bad people. Doesn't that bug you? That good things can happen to bad people, right? So we're going to look at the night series to go along with this to help you get over being mad that God's being so good to the wicked. And that mean, ornery boss you've got is going up and you're going down. Let's look at that biblically. So we'll begin that tonight. I like to say that in September the 15th, the Timothy Wow, we're starting the spiritual life, spiritual formation class. We invite those who want to be serious about study and do some homework and show up on Thursday nights. That'll begin September 15th. And sign up if you'd like to be in there. I think we have about 20 people now. It doesn't matter to me if we've got five, but for you, if you don't understand the Christian life, I don't know of anything that's more disheartening to me than saved, defeated Christians, saved, guilty Christians, saved, can't get over it Christians. It's terrible to go from one form of misery to another. And the Christian life is intended to be a lived certain way, and just because you're messed up, depressed, down and out, beat, whipped, defeated, guilty, feel ashamed, don't think that's what God saved you for. That is not the Christian life as God intended. And so we're going to look at what is the Christian life as God intended. And if you're interested, we may have sign-ups in the back at the information booth there. I say it for you. I want you. Some people want to grow. They just don't want to learn. Does it take any study? Do you have to think? Yeah, forget it. I don't want to do it. It's the story my father used to tell about the farmers. Had a lazy farmer in their community. And he was just too lazy to bring in a crop or whatever. And so these guys were going to hang him. And when they were taking him to hang him, they had him in the back of a wagon, had him tied up. And they all began to feel bad on the way to the hanging. And one guy says, "Well, I could do this for him." The other said, "I could do that." Another guy said, "I can give him a bushel of corn." And the guy rose up and said, "Is it shucked?" And they said, "No." He said, "Keep riding." Some people want to grow in the Christian life if you'll do it all for them. Impossible. You've got to be exercised. So consider that. We're going to be looking at Genesis 3. Rabbi Kushner years ago wrote a book. I believe it's When Bad Things happen to good people. And as a rabbi, and having to deal with death and the terrible tsunamis of life and infant mortality and all the unexplainables that us men cannot unravel, he began to deal with this. What kind of God do I represent? What kind of God do I represent? Is God all powerful and is God all good? If he's all powerful, surely he can control the evil that happens in the world. Is he greater than evil? And then the other issue, if he's all powerful, can he be all good? Because he's, if everything that happens has to go through his permission, where's his goodness in all of this? And there's a little book you may enjoy reading. It's The Case for Faith by Lee Strobel. He wrote one on the case for Christ that's excellent. He's written one, The Case for Creation. And he wrote this on basic reasons why people don't want to become Christians. And it's written in a great form. And he states the old Epicurean philosophical tension for the birth of atheism. Atheists love this. You want to know this. They state it this way. Either God wants to abolish evil and cannot, or he can but does not want to, or he cannot and does not want to. If he wants to but cannot, he is impotent. If he can and does not want to, he is wicked. But if God both can and wants to abolish evil, then how come evil is in the world? Ken Boas, in his little book on apologetics, states it something like this. He states the tensions. If God is all good and all powerful, why did he make a world with so much suffering? Why do innocent people suffer from things like disease, natural disaster? If God is so good, loving, and powerful, why doesn't he put an end to suffering now? How could a loving God send someone to hell? Did God create evil? Where did evil come from? Where did evil come from? If God knew man would sin and bring evil into this world, why did he bother to create him in the first place? Great philosophical questions thrown at the believer all the time and floods the gates of the atheistic world. Some answers go this way. Evil exists, God doesn't. That's atheism. Everybody has to admit there's evil, unless you're a Christian Scientist or a pantheist. Two, God exists, but evil doesn't. And pantheism says evil doesn't exist. Figment of our imagination. Christian Science says it does not exist. And Christian Science is like grape nuts. It's neither grape nor nut. And it's neither Christian nor science. The third option is God exists, evil exists. And this is theism. We're theists. We believe there is a God. And we believe in the reality of evil. And we believe the sovereign God is in charge of all that happens, though he never sins, never causes to sin. He does permit sin, or it would have never happened. He permitted it with angelic beings. He permitted it with the race. I think to respond to Rabbi Kushner, why and when bad things happen to good people, there is a tension there, and the tension is over good. What is a good person? Someone nicer than someone worse that you know? And it's this idea of entitlement, that we are born in a world in which we are entitled to a free ride, no pain, no suffering, and no paying any attention like the environment and the ignoring the genetic code that we inherited. It's like ignoring that I was born into a home that's bankrupt. I was born into a home that is poverty stricken, on the side of ultimate goodness in God's sight. And so I thought we would first of all look how good people became bad. There's only been two good people in all of history from the divine point of view. Adam and Eve, and he said what he made was good. And then God the Son, whom when they called him good, an attribute only given to God, he said, "Don't call me good." Now, the reason he said that was not because he wasn't good, but because it implied you'd have to be saying, "I'm deity," and you're not saying that. So don't call me good unless you're willing to go all the way and call me God. Because ultimate good is only found in God himself. The rest of us have been flawed. So how did good people ever get introduced to evil? How did bad things ever approach a perfectly good couple? Go with me to Genesis, and I just would just like to put the narrative for you. In Genesis 1, sixth day, God decides to make mankind. And notice what he says about them. We're just verse 27 of chapter 1, God created man in his own image. So every human being is an image bearer, a divine image bearer. I understand the imago Dei, or the image of God, to be maybe two parts: immaterial, intellect, will, and emotion. We can think, even in love. Animals don't love like human beings. No animal has ever read a poem and understood it. They lack intelligence. They have instinct. So in our immaterial part, in our emotional being, our heart, intellect, will, and emotion, we are set apart from all other creation, flowers, plants, animals, made a little bit lower than angels. But we have been made in God's image. And something that is something to think about, maybe even in our physical composition, in the image we've been made into, when God did show up, he didn't show up as an angel or a phantom. He showed up in a body carved out just like ours. So there may be even a physical template that transfers, that if God is going to be visible and physical, his ultimate expression would be in a man, the God-man. But we know inside of us we're different from all other creation in that we have intellect, will, and emotion. And so to mess with a human being is to mess with an image bearer. That's why you don't kill babies. It's why you don't kill anyone, for we're made in the image of God, even in our fallen state. But here, this is before the fall. And he created them male and female. So the human race, you don't have the human race. You don't have mankind unless you have both genders. You don't have the human race just with male. When he said he made man in his image, in the Hebrew, it's mankind. And it includes male, female. He made mankind in his image. Now, that means there must be something feminine in God also, right? The women want to amen, but they dare not. And he tells them to be fruitful, rule over the earth, and I've given you everything you'll need to sustain your body in the plant world. You won't be carnivorous. Animals won't be carnivorous. I'll supply all your needs through a vegetarian diet. He goes in chapter 2, and in Hebrew, this they'll often go the next chapter to fill in the details. He gave the broad outline. So we pick up in chapter 2, that in verse 15, God made them and he puts them in the garden. And paradise means a garden. He put them in the Garden of Eden. And he says this to them. Verse 16, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Now, there is the divine permission. Get that. The divine permission says this. Let's see if we get it. You can eat from any tree in the garden. Is that fairly broad? It doesn't sound restrictive, does it? How many trees do you think were in a paradise garden? Let's guess 1,000. If all the origins of the plant world were found there. That's a small number. Let's say there's 1,000 trees. You can eat of all these trees. There's the divine permission. Don't forget that. Broad, 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 all kinds of choices. What's now the divine prohibition? But you must not eat from the tree, one tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. The prohibition is only one thing. Now, the way sin, I think, works on us today, and especially our young people, is just like God has prohibited everything, and he's only said there's one thing we can do, and that's go to church. Because to accept Jesus Christ means the end of joy, fun, happiness, and you just buy a Bible and read it and go to church all the time. Because you can't do anything else. No. You got all this. The prohibitions are very small compared to the divine permission. Do all this. Now, he gives him that prohibition, and then he goes on down after he does this. He says, I think you need a wife. And so he fills in the other part of humanity, that she's not just to be female gender, but a female gender humankind that will be a helper. And God moves in to give him help to stay in the garden, to obey, to take care of it. So we move from there into something that without warning, without any warning, we wind up, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Meet the devil. Without any explanation, we don't even know who the serpent is. At first you think it's just a creature crawling on the ground, a normal serpent. But this serpent is standing up. This serpent can talk. This serpent doubts the word of God. This serpent is smarter than mankind. And it shows up in the garden. From what we understand in the rest of Scripture, that the serpent is really the embodiment of Satan. He has incarnated himself in a creature in order to seduce the unfallen good couple out of a place where God will not bless them, but that God will have to bring bad things into their life. Shrewd, smarter. Are you aware that the devil is smarter than you? Are you aware that many other people are smarter than you? There's a lot of folks smarter, but he's shrewd. And that is, shrewd means wisdom to a bad purpose. Sometimes it's used of a wise man. It's a wisdom that's been corrupted. He's wise enough to accomplish his end. And what does the serpent do? Now, this couple is perfect. There's no sin. They are in paradise. Everything they need's been provided. Have you ever said, if I just had no more bills, no more health problems, and somebody would just give me access to a Safeway grocery store for life, I'd have it made. God put the grocery store there. He gave him a beautiful wife, an intelligent woman, no rivalry, no marital spatting. They're totally naked physically and emotionally. There's a transparency going on here that is good. God says it's good. It's wonderful. Surely good people couldn't have it any better. But there is a third party we deal with in the universe besides God. There's us, God, and a third party that wants to ruin the party. And he steps in with very subtle ways, and he just simply asks the question. And I would render it this way. So God has said you can't eat from any tree in the garden, huh? I've heard that. Is that true? Seems so innocent on the surface. It's full of sarcasm. It's full of bait. Is it true that you, this beautiful couple, you've got a tree that God says you can't eat of? My, that's so interesting. I want to know more about it. And the woman is drawn in. You do? Kind of. Oh, let's talk. Now, you women, if you saw a serpent, you'd be running for a mile. Her, she's engaged in So who'd you have lunch today? A snake? Didn't think a thing about it. Beginning of creation, no fear. Hey, a serpent's talking to me. The woman said, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. You got it right. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it. God did not say that. You can touch, you can't eat. But if you don't want to be eating it, it'd be good not to touch it. You must not touch it. So she added that. Don't add to God's words. He said enough for us to do. Just take him at his word. But she did have it right. Or you will die. You will not surely die. There's no death. The first lie in the Bible denied divine judgment for sin. The first lie in the Bible says God will not judge disobedience to him. You can sin with impunity. There's no consequences if you choose to disobey. That's the first lie. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, for God knows, he just impugned the motive of God. God is trying to keep you from something that is superlative. God is an evil cosmic joy, killjoy. He doesn't want you to be all that you were meant to be. I want you to realize your full potential. And what is your full potential? Godhood. You ought to become your own God. Why have another God telling you what to do? You don't need anybody telling you what is good and evil. You need to know that for yourself. And by the way, if you just eat of this fruit, you will experientially know what good and evil. Because you see, evil is not eternal. That's dualism. Evil has not always existed. It began to exist in Satan when he sought to be like God. Isaiah 14, I will be like God. I will raise my throne above his. I don't want to be like a fallen woman or a thief or a drug addict. I want to be like God. In what way? I want to call the shots. I want to be autonomous. I want to be independent, self-reliant, self-choosing. I'll set all boundaries. I'll not want anyone else to set the boundaries. Our wanting to become like God was not like God in his glorious attributes. It was like God in his sovereignty and his autonomy. I want to call it independence, self-reliance. I will set the boundaries of what's right and wrong. Nobody else. And that appealed to her. You mean I can gain some godhood? Yeah. You can find out what good and evil are for yourself. You don't have to take God's word for it. And two, you'll be in charge. This is the great sin of the human race. There's no sin without pride and unbelief. They permeate all sin. Pride is self-assertion. Pride is non-reliance on God. Pride is godhood. I am my own man. I am in charge. I can take care of it. It's why sickness, pain, suffering, heartbreaks, as we heard, God has a way of reminding us, okay, little gods, control it. Can you handle the pain your godhood has brought? Imagine, would you make this deal if you could? You can become a god if you're willing to die. And that was the offer.
And this is Truth for Today, the ministry of Valley Bible Church in Hercules with our teacher and pastor, Pastor Phil Howard. Thank you for spending time with us today. Have you found encouragement as you have studied God's Word with us here on the broadcast? We'd love to hear from you, whether it's a phone call, a quick email off of our website, or if you take pen to paper and send along a note, it would mean a great deal to us. You can reach us at 855-833-9864. And again, an encouraging word as to how the broadcast ministers to you would be wonderful. If you have a prayer request, maybe you have a question that was sparked by today's program, feel free to contact us again at 855-833-9864. If you'd like to write to us, the address is truthfortodayradio.org. You can drop us an email from that website or write to us at 1511 M Sycamore Avenue, Suite 278. We're here in Hercules, California. The zip code is 94547. One other note as we let you go today, we have a matching grant. A generous donor to the ministry has set up a matching grant through the end of March. So dollar for dollar, any support you send our way not only is tax deductible, but will be matched dollar for dollar through the end of March. Would you please consider that as you contact us here at Truth for Today? Again, you can reach us at 855-833-9864 or donate online. TruthForTodayRadio.org. And then come back and join us next week for another broadcast of Truth For Today with Pastor Phil Howard.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.